bastard. Arms out to your mum's house. Arms out to your mum's house. To your mum's house. Arms out to your mum's house. Arms out to your mum's house. Arms out to your mum's house.
Yo, welcome to episode 2. Episode 2 of Arms House to Your Mom's House.
Arms House to Your Mom's House.
My name is Amber, and this right here
My name is Steam.
Yeah. So what you were saying just now, you were saying that you was out of the game now. Well, you've had COVID and a throat infection.
At the same time, man, with the, the antibiotics and the COVID.
Jesus, like Razelle, the beat and the chorus at the same time.
Yeah, it's been really fun. I've been reading so much about the vaccine, man.
Oh, wow.
I'm so pissed off that I took it. I took all three of them.
Yeah.
And now it's common knowledge that it doesn't do anything.
At the end of the day.
Yeah, we should move on anyway. Fuck the. Yeah. This is the old news now, man.
I mean, yeah, exactly. I'm fucking sick and tired of talking about it
because I got it for like the second time.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck. My kids had it for the sec 2 times as well. Both of them.
Wow. Yeah, I know my sister.
But nothing happened. Runny nose.
Yeah, same with my sister and my niece. You know what I mean? They caught it a couple times now. I've managed to avoid it until the other day when I got it. Well, officially, I never like tested.
Oh, that was the first time.
That was the first time officially, yeah. I mean, I've been ill the past couple of years, but I didn't test if I was positive or not. You know what I mean? I just...
I see.
Yeah, so, yeah.
You're just a bad member of society.
Well, yeah, I can be selfish. Straight up, I can be selfish. And I'll admit it. You know what I mean? I won't make up some bullshit.
I'm not testing for that shit because I don't want to stay indoors. You know what I mean?
No. When I've been ill, I've stayed indoors, obviously, and avoided people as much as possible. But again, I have slipped up, you know what I mean? I have gone, you know, and shit like that. You know, we all, you know, and I'm not going to make up excuses for it. Yeah, I'm selfish sometimes. You know what I mean? Shit happens. But yeah, let's move on from this subject, man.
So moving on, what you got? You got these tunes?
So basically here on the podcast, we're going to have like sections, you know what I mean, where we talk about things, or we're going to have themes rant coming up, you know what I mean? Some things that rub him the wrong way, that piss him off, not vaccines. I don't think it's about vaccines. I don't know. We'll see when that comes. We also have the wackest writer of the week or something? Wackest graph writer. Are you going to do that this time or no?
Yeah.
Oh, you got one. Okay. All right. Well, yo,
because I've been so ill in bed. I haven't been looking. I haven't been on road like or on the lines.
You could do Instagram.
I think writers. I can think of one. Actually.
No, don't.
Yeah, I've not been on. I'm trying to come off Insta.
And anyway, we'll do a disclaimer
about
that.
I can't remember what it was, but I was thinking, oh, that could be the worst writer of the week.
Yeah. All right, and then and talking about vaccines and stuff, I got I have a section, my favorite conspiracy theories, but then we're also going to do a section, hopefully, because we're both very musically inclined. We love music, and we've been involved in music for many years, so we thought maybe it would be a good opportunity for us to share some of this music, not music particularly that we've made, but just 3 songs each that have made an impact on us in some sort, or that we like a lot, or not just our 3 favorite songs, but just 3 songs that would spark a conversation or something like that. You know what I mean? So just good songs. And so that's about it, man. So episode 2, I think we'll start with the songs this time, because we were supposed to do it on episode 1, but we never had time. We were chatting too much about school days, man. So, all right. Cool. Brother, what's your first song, man? Come on, let's start with yours, man. Do you remember them, or should I tell you?
The Start of Your Ending, no? By Mobb Deep.
Is that the one? I don't think it is. Oh, yeah, it is. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Start of Your Ending.
Start of Your Motherfucking Ending.
All right, let's play a little snippet, man. We'll let it play for about 30 seconds, maybe a minute. Let's see.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm saying?
Straight away.
That thumb language, yo. Rest in peace, Prodigy. The whole, that kind of...
Yeah.
I keep
real. Tax still like my man YG. When the fool try to play me, where the fuck
epitomizes wait. You must be East Coast crazy, New York hip hop for me, like the whole sound of it is
Timbaland boots stomping out some motherfucker.
Timbaland boots stomping on your head, hot brown beanies tilted to the side. You know what I mean? Like, there's another tune by Raekwon and Ghostface that makes me feel the same kind of thing. But just the beat and everything on this is just, man. P's lyrics and the way he flows on it is mental. You see, yeah. Ice-T says Prodigy's his favorite rapper to ever live.
Oh, wow.
There's like a clip going around recently.
Deep.
And he said, and everyone's like, why? And he's like, because you can hear the grit in his voice. You can hear and understand like the accent. It's not like, give it this. It's like, yo, and you're like, yeah, okay, I understand what he means. It's completely like, it is New York East Coast rap.
Yeah, and that's mad coming from Ice-T, who's a West Coast rapper. You know what I mean? There's loads of West Coast rappers he could have chosen from, but yo, to choose Prodigy is deep, man. Yeah, and he does.
Prodigy.
He encapsulates that whole aura of New York.
And it's that time 90s. As well.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That time. And that when all these dudes were like 18, 19, you know what I mean? Like Nas dropped his album when he was 18, 19.
Yeah.
So therefore he wrote it when he was like 17, 18.
Exactly. It took like three, four years.
That kind of shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. When you listen to lyrics, you're like, yo, how could like literally a kid wrote that shit?
Yeah.
But if you think about it in general, hip hop, obviously, like we've grown with hip hop. Yeah. Hip hop is basically around about my age. It's around 40. Well, a bit more than my age, but it's like 45, coming up to 46, 47 years old. Officially, probably a bit longer than that, but
I remember doing a happy birthday 40-year-old hip hop piece, like quite.
I think that was because I went to the 40-year anniversary in New York. I went to the Zulu Nation party. I mean, you know, we don't. That was for the 40-year. I think it was 40 years of Zulu Nation, 41 years of hip hop, because I think they coined it from the Kool Herc flyer for his sister's birthday party. Yeah. When he did the merry-go-round thing.
When they went outside.
And it said hip-hop on the flyer. It's like the first documentation of the use of the word. But apparently it was a guy called Grandmaster Flowers or something who first coined the term. Like he was just saying it like the hip, the hop, the hibbit, the hibbit, the hip. Anyway, sorry, not to get too deep into that. So like they say hip-hop is a young man's sport. And I guess it has been. But because the genre has been so young. You know what I mean? But as it gets older, the people involved in hip hop will be older. You know what I mean? But definitely, it was amazing what those kids achieved back then, man, for sure. And that
it just makes me think of the subway flying above the subway flying above the sidewalk with the graph on the side, chances of getting jacked on the corner, drinking 40s out of a brown bag. Kind of Averitt jackets and caps and Timberlands and all that kind of wickedness, those vibes when it was like really changing into that kind of rap from, you know what I mean, from the fundamentals of hip hop. That tune really makes me, I'm there when they play it.
It's so simple, man. It's literally so simple, a drum loop with a bang, bang, bang. It's like two chords over the top. It was Havoc produced that track as well. So
salute to Havoc,
man. He gets underrated as a producer, man. He's made some amazing songs.
Shit. All the banging Mobb Deep tunes, he made them.
No doubt.
All like the famous ones, you know, like what's it called? Shook Ones and all of that everyone plays. Yeah. He made that.
It's incredible, man.
He's a decent rapper as well. He's decent, but just P just outshines him. So
yeah,
it's kind of difficult, but
I mean, like, he held his own with the producing, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. That's one thing P didn't have over him was the production stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, definitely, you know, he definitely suffered from that duo, like being outshined by the other one. Like, kind of like Mos Def and Talib Kweli, you know, Talib Kweli's great and he's, you know, got rhymes, he's dope and all that stuff, but Mos Def is just much better, you know what I mean? So. Yeah. Are they doing something again soon?
They're doing
Black Star album.
Black Star.
It's dropping soon. If it hasn't dropped already, it's coming out soon, man. So, definitely looking forward to that. So, yo, that was Mobb Deep, the start of your ending, 41st Side. What album was that on? Was that on
41st Side.
Shit, which album?
Hell on Earth.
Hell on Earth. All right, wicked. So, what do you want to play all three of yours now, or should we go one for one?
Yeah, let's go one for one.
All right, one for one. All right, so my first tune is a song from 1970. And it's a song by a band, a relatively unknown band. They only released one album, and they're called Brethren. Brethren.
Brethren.
And they had a song on this album called Outside Love, which has one of my favorite drum breaks on it. Check this out. Listen to the beginning of this, the drum break. And anyways, just goes into such a nice song as well. Let's listen to it for a couple of seconds.
Kind of funk.
Yeah, kind of. They're a rock band, but yeah, it's a funky tune. Check it out, Themos. Check it out.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Ah, that's the album.
There she is, boy. Brethren.
So I brought that track in because this is my favorite drum break that I own on vinyl, because you know I make beats and stuff, so I collect little drum breaks.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's not a particularly rare record or anything, but I've never seen it ever until I was in Orlando, Florida, working out there, like it was a good few years ago now, 6-7 years ago. And you know, in America they don't fuck around when it comes to record shops, man. So I went to a record shop down there, rock place, and asked him if they had it. He pulled it right out and said, here you go, boom. And it was like, at the time, the most I'd spent on a record, it was $40. I think I managed to haggle him down to $35. So I don't know how much that is in pounds, but at the time that was the most I'd ever spent, because I usually don't go over £10. Maybe I'll spend $15 if I really want the record. But yeah. So that's the
reason you bought it, was for that drum loop.
Yeah.
Or is there anything else you like about
it? It turns out the song, now I've fallen in love with the song. I bought it for the drum break, but I fell in love with the song. And there's a couple of decent tracks on the album, but that song in particular stands out. And that drum break, why I was so looking forward, looking for it, it was used on some of my favorite hip-hop tracks.
Ah, okay.
So Electric Relaxation by Tribe Called Quest.
Tribe Called Quest.
Biggie Smalls, Suicidal Thoughts.
Yeah.
Got that. Onyx, Last Days by Onyx.
Yo, that's a fucking tune. Yeah. I like it. You know, on the CD when it finishes, there's like a secret beat at the end. I like that as well.
Oh,
mate. It's quite a massive pause. It's like a 45 second, 1 minute pause.
I love it when albums used to do that, the secret track at the end.
And there's this beat at the end. I'm like, yo, this is fire.
It's also on Guru from Jazzmatazz, I think, Volume 2. There's a song called The Lifesaver, which is a boom track. OC, Born to Live. Company Flow song, Vital Nerve.
Oh, shit.
And KRS-One song called Mortal Thought. Another sick tune, one of my favorite KRS-One tunes. Anyway, so yeah, so I was always looking for that record, and then when I found it in Orlando, I was over the moon.
It's kind of cool you found it in America as well. When was it? Yeah. 6 years ago, did you say?
At least 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, yeah. I was out there working.
I was just wondering if big Shaquille O'Neal was playing for Orlando, but he wasn't.
Nah, I don't think he was, man.
It's good out there.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I was out quite in the middle of nowhere because we were doing a job for a hotel, which was a bit out there, but I had a 1 day off, so I managed to make my way into Orlando City, and I did some graph, I painted a piece, and managed to check a couple record shops, man. Yeah, so, and I picked that up. I was just boosted when I had that, so I thought I'd flex on you guys.
And you flexed in the shop with the $35 price tag.
A little bit, kind of.
Yeah, I'm going for it.
I didn't know if he was scamming me, man, but looking at online now, it's around about the price it goes for now. So, you know, ain't a thing, man. But, yeah, so that was my track, Brethren, Outside Love. So what's your next one?
I don't know. I can't remember. Is it a drum and bass track? But I think I sent the wrong one in.
No, it was...
It's actually called Sonar or something.
No, it's called Something Out There. Twisted Anger, or
is that the right one? Keith. Yeah, it's because that's quite similar. But I was chatting to Saul from Chase and Status, and I was, you know, when I sent you a voice message, and I'm like, no, it's this tune. You're like, mate, there's no way I can tell the tune from that fucking point. He told it straight away. He's like, it's this tune on this side, on this B side. Yeah, that's what I want to fucking.
Well, know. I can do that. I can do that with hip hop music, but with drum and bass, love drum and bass. I grew up raving to drum and bass. I freaking love drum and bass, but I never really got into it enough to learn the names of the songs. I just kind of go, you know that tune?
I was in this long dark tunnel.
Yeah, exactly.
I know that one.
I got a funny story about that because that's from a tune. I can't even remember the name of that Event Horizon or something like that.
I thought it was from a movie.
It's from a British documentary about near death experiences. Yeah.
And
we were watching that documentary in my school. And that bit came up, and I was like, oh, shit, that's from the drum and bass tune. I was nuts in the classroom. No one knew what I was talking about. I was like, it's from that tune. I didn't even really know about sampling and stuff back then. But, I remember that being pretty cool. So what? It's not this tune, Something Out There. Should we play it?
Yeah, play the tune, because it's quite similar, man. And it gives me the same kind of feeling.
Yeah, this is this is a remix, like a newer remix. Exactly. Danny C remix, Twisted Anger or something. But yeah, originally this is a Ray Keith song from the 90s, like a bad boy raving. So let's check it out. Something Out There. I cut the intro a little bit, so it just goes into the drop a bit.
That's the best bit.
Yeah.
I remember being in places like One Nation and Wild Dance and like, you know, Reebok Classics and Eskimo shirts and this thing. When they used to, you mix this tune into any tune.
Yeah.
And you'd start hearing the round, round, round. You'd be like, oh shit, is this tune coming in?
Yeah.
And it was banging, banging, banging times. That's these kind of silent times. And then you're looking around the rave like, where the fuck am I, man? I'm in Stratford Ricks in like 97. I'm the whitest kid here. I'm the skinniest, smallest kid here. I'm getting trampled on and beaten on. I'm seeing all sorts of shit I shouldn't see. This is me. This is fucking mental. And then I grew up on it.
But then you'd be in the rave, like in the on the dance floor, everyone's just bashing into each other like, and their MC
I got a funny story.
Yeah,
I went to Gasworks or something, Boiler Works. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Chase and Stacey, they put a rave on. They put a rave on, quite recently, like 5 years ago, 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And they said, yo, it's called Return to the Jungle. Do you want to come? And I said, oh, man, yeah, I have, because, you know, I'm sort of late 30s by that time, mid 30s.
You know the dude from Chase and Stacey. You know both of them or Saul?
I know both of them, but like Saul was my first ever mate.
That's
my first ever mate.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like photos of us when we were like four, you know? It's joking.
Okay, yeah, so continue, yeah. So he reached out to you, said that...
So I went to the... So he reached out and, you know, we got back in contact again because we were banned from our parents from seeing each other. It was one of them ones. Anyway, we got back in contact. And I could tell so many stories about him, man, because I was so fucked off. Everything he said, I'd done exactly the same thing, but without him. So and he was doing DJ and I was doing MCing. So when I was at uni, I was MCing to, like... shit DJs who I didn't know in like Brighton and Nottingham and all over jungle, looking for like a decent DJ. He was just selling weed. He was just selling weed and learning to fucking DJ.
Yeah.
And that's all he wanted to do. He didn't go to class. And that's all I wanted to do. I would like design the flyers. I went to East London Uni. We're doing ELC, like East London Connection or something this guy was putting on. And I did all of them. And the DJ I had was like some tiny little guy from Nottingham. And I was like, yeah, this he's not going to take off, man.
But so you started off as a drum and bass MC, not a hip-hop MC? Or did you kind of just do both? Or
I did everything. I was on Garage and Jungle.
Mm.
I think Jungle first. But like but no, Garage no, no. kind of got me onto radio.
What no?
Like Ice FM and shit.
You were writing hip hop lyrics first, but then to perform, it was just easier to get on the mic at a drum and bass.
Yeah, maybe. I can't tell you what I was writing first.
Mm.
But anyway, I went to this rave, and I sent him this voice note. I had like access to all areas and stuff like that, but it gets a bit boring. So you do end up going in the crowd. Well, I do anyway.
Yeah, of course.
And I went in this car and I took a couple of friends from work at the time. And they started playing. It was like Skibber Shabba.
Rest in peace, Skibber D.
Rest in peace, man.
Yeah, that was devastating.
All those sort of things. Like Kenny Ken. You know what I mean? Obviously, DJ Hype, Andy C, Chase the Circus had all the MCs. Like, yeah, Dets used to be singing and shit, man.
Oh, man, he was so sick.
And I said, Fat Man D, you know your sound in the sound. I'm like, so I'm going. So I just felt like I was 18, I had this big jacket on, massive Carhartt jacket. I put the hood up, put the thing on, and just went into this rave, bearing in mind, this isn't like, 2019 or something. You know, like nowadays, everyone is nice and shit. Everyone's like good to each other and shit. Yeah. And I just took it back into this rave, picking up kids and dashing them like javelins, like dashing them about, going fucking mental, like going absolutely, like trying to make people know that I was going mental. Like one of those.
Yeah, yeah.
And I took my two friends, like how I was. And I was dressed like that, because he said, look, it's Return to the Jungle. We're taking it back. He told me all about it. And it was Skibber and Shabba, like, madness.
Can you turn your mic down just a little bit? You're peaking a little bit. Sorry, brother.
And I sent just him... I sent him a... A voice note the next morning.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, yo, I don't know if you guys realize what you did. I'll try and find it for the third podcast, because what he did, he took this voice note was so genuine.
Yeah.
He took the voice note and he made an intro for a drum and bass tune out of it.
Easy.
So I don't know if you guys know what you guys did. Yeah. I was dashing kids out the fucking window. I was it was so funny. And because that tune there that you played, that Ray Keith tune, it took me back to those kind of times. Like, I don't know if you remember, like, World Dance. You go to World Dance. You know, I was praying if I was even getting in. And then there's, like, you know, there's, like, fucking fairground rides and shit.
Yeah.
And shit outside and rare. Man, those raves, there was, like, you know, people with guns and shit. There was people fucking having sex in the corner. There was, like, bass man and trigger. Aye, sticky finger in the corner. And you know what I mean? Just like fingering birds on stage. Oh, and it was just mental.
And huge. Everyone was pilled up as well, man. And on all sorts, man. Yeah, like.
And we're talking like, you know, acres of rave.
Oh,
like it was fucking. Could you imagine doing that kind of shit now?
No, they still go on now, but more, I guess it's more on festivals now, I guess,
but you imagine the security now, the ticketing now, all that kind of shit now, man.
Yeah.
It was these, you had to be, you know when you start sounding like your dad, that's when you know you're getting on. Oh, man, if you remember the 60s, you weren't even there, man.
Yeah,
you know, if you had to, you weren't there, you weren't there, like, you'll never, ever have that.
No doubt. No one had their mobile phone. Obviously, there was no mobile phones. It wasn't about any of that. It was about experiencing it and getting as fucked up as possible.
You lost your boys. You lost your boys, man. Yeah. You were then raving on your own for like 4 hours until, Dave, oh yeah! Link up again. And Dave's with like 10 people you've never met. Oh, these are my new mates from tonight, bruv.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. You make new friends. Or we used to do a thing where if someone's missing for more than half an hour, and I don't don't know how anyone's going to see that. But then we go, I'll meet you at the right speaker. I'll be at the right speaker next to the stage. And like kind of, but it never worked really, man. People are too busy raving or getting fucked up. They're not going to, once you're gone, you're gone.
Who are these guys? Who are you lot? This is Dave. Dave, this is you lot. He lent me his water. Like, and then you just wait from them, you know what I mean?
Exactly. That's it.
Nuts.
Oh, mate, yeah, man. So many dope memories from back then, man. And, like, there were certain raves you go to, you knew you were getting jacked, but you still went anyway. You went anyway. You were like, fuck,
especially if you look like me. Like, you were just getting jacked just for turning up. You know what I mean?
In the queue, waiting to get in, just people walking down the queue.
Exactly.
Just
worried everyone. They might jack your paper ticket, bro. They jacked that £30, £20 ticket, which was a piece of paper.
Yeah,
I can't remember where you know, they got sent to your house or some shit. I can't remember. You were fucked.
Yeah.
Fucked.
And another thing I remember now as well that we tend to forget, I remember queuing up for so long.
Bitch.
2 hours, 3 hours standard in the queue. So you need to take a bottle or something just to drink in the queue on the way, because it's going to be, you're going to be stood there. Ticket or no ticket, it doesn't matter, you know.
Yeah, and these queues
and we are waiting. Only,
yeah.
Yeah. Because that's the thing back then as well, before, again, not to sound too much like an old man, but before the internet and all that, if you wanted to hear a particular song, you had to see that particular DJ, you know, because he had the dub plate. So Andy C, for example, if you wanted to hear that body rock, you know, okay, this is a bit later on now, this is early 2000s.
But you'd know what label he's on. You'd know, fuck, he's on Ram Trilogy and he's doing this. Yeah. And, oh, yeah, shit, my friend, he's got a Ram Trilogy record. I know what the logo looks like.
Yeah.
And in those queues, it was just solo fucking Rude Boys.
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen in those queues.
I mean, no, you had
up.
No, we had, there was, of course, lots of Rude Boys, man. And lots of, like, Bumpkins as well would come into London. But, like, you know, not Bumpkins, but what are they fucking, like, townies?
Yeah, back then,
you
they
know what
call that Bumpkin, like from Guildford or some shit, you know what I mean? And they'd be getting fucking raped on the side.
Exactly. And but you'd have to go roll in with a big firm of people just to deter as many people as possible from trying to fuck with you, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And to be honest, I was kind of lucky because I was good mates with MC Riddler's cousin. Yeah, his name was Roosbay.
Riddler.
So
Roosbay.
Yeah, you remember Roosbay from back in the day?
Yeah, man.
Fuck knows what's happened to him now. I mean, I don't know. I haven't chatted to him or seen him in a long time. But I chat to David still. Riddler now, his name's David. He lives abroad now. He's totally put the whole emceeing drum and bass thing behind him. He works. He's a banker now or some shit, man. But he's a cool motherfucker. I was with him not too long ago, actually. But yeah, so he used to get us into all the raves, and I'd be up on the stage and whatever, you know what I mean? But I'd always come down on the stage and go into the crowd anyway. But I always loved getting on the stage and shacking out and getting everyone on it.
Yeah.
And pointing at you, like,
he's on it. He knows people. He knows. Because there's no social media. There's no there's no photos. There's none of that. So even if, like, one of your mates would say, oh, Maddie, can you bring me in? You'd be like... Bro, I don't know if I can let my friends like Riddler and Shabba and that see me with you, bro. Like, I don't know if I can bring you into that crew.
You had to be selective for sure.
You'd have to say, listen, Riddler, this geezer's like stabbed 15 people in the neck. I'd be like, yeah, he can come. You're like, yo, this is my friend, he's a bit of a bod. No. You can't queue up with him, you know what I mean? Yeah. It was like that. It was fucked up.
Man. Yeah, crazy. And
Saul and that, Chase and Zayas, they killed it with Return to the Jungle 2. Yeah. They, like, absolutely killed it.
They looked sick. And they did the carnival as well that year, I remember.
Yeah, that was Return to the Jungle
I couldn't get anywhere near it. It was that ram out, so I missed it. But,
yeah,
it looked sick, man. And again, rest in peace, Skibber D, man, you know?
You know, Saul's got such a big Moschino collection,
yeah, you were saying.
The wife of Moschino, like, got in contact with him, like, invited him over to, like, Italy and shit. Like, it's ridiculous. It's, you know, like, the size of a bedroom. And it's just... And it's not new shit.
No,
it's,
I know.
Like, all that kind of shit that you can imagine. You know what I mean? Like, all the lettering stuff, all the colourful stuff.
Did they do, like... They did, like, a kind of a museum thing.
Exhibition.
Yeah, exhibition of all the stuff, because he had such a deep connection. But I was never. I mean, I couldn't afford it at the time.
I couldn't afford. I had like fake iceberg and shit.
You know I had the fake jeans you'd get from Camden, but because I used to get hand-me-downs from my rich cousin who lived in Jordan. He always wore Hugo Boss and Valentino, and I told him once. I was like, look, if you're gonna throw something away, just send it my way. So I had a few bits, authentic bits that I used to wear, but I used to rinse them out.
I love that. A couple of bits.
Yeah, because he was short, fat dude. Yeah, so his shoes didn't fit me. He had such sick Versace shoes, all these ill shoes. They didn't fit, and his trousers wouldn't fit me either because he was short and I was tall. So I couldn't use his trousers, but his tops, his shirts, and his t-shirts and stuff like that, and his jackets. So I had a nice Hugo Boss jacket, I had a nice Versace jacket. But the thing is, because I got given them, I didn't take care of them, man. So they're covered in paint, and they fucking had scratch marks on it, and they were fucked. And like, I wish I'd they'd be worth fucking bucks now, man. But anyway, whatever. It's not about that. But I used to rinse them out. Yeah. But yeah, okay, cool. Shall we move on to the next track?
Yeah, man.
You see, we're already 45 minutes through. I don't think we're going to be able to do anything else. I reckon we'll do the tunes this time and we'll do the rest next time. But let's see how we get on, all right?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
All right, the next track is a song called Little Umbrellas from 1969 by a dude called Frank Zappa. Have you heard of Frank Zappa?
Frank Zappa, yeah.
Yeah, man, everyone's heard of him, man. He's a legendary dude, but I never really like delved into his discography or his stuff until we listened to the album on my show, which is called Don't Judge a Record by Its Cover. I do that on my YouTube channel, Tarbush Records, Tarbush Records, and on Instagram, Tarbush. At Tarbush Records. You can watch them there. And where we find records with weird album covers, and then we listen and review it, me and my funny brother, my comedian brother, and he's a musician as well. And we listen to the records, we review the records, and then I sample them and make a beat, and then my brother does a weird, funny little freestyle at the end. So it's a fun little show. I'm urging you all to go check that ish out.
Yeah, so it's a very funny show, man. Cheers, it was good to have Fresidente in it, the last couple of ones as well.
So Frez, me and Frez do the whole Tarbush Records thing, but he lives out in Dubai. But yeah, he's been here for a couple of weeks. He's gone back now. But yeah, he's been in the last couple of episodes. So yeah, the last episode we did, episode 24, I think it was, we did Frank Zappa. And this was the track that I sampled. It's called Little Umbrellas. Check it out. We'll listen to a little bit of it. It's a sick album, I'll tell you that now, man. Proper dope. All right. So yeah, if you want to hear how I flip that, check out the show Don't Judge a Record by Its Cover, episode 24. That was the Frank Zappa one. But there's, like I said, there's 24 episodes to check out. Lots of cool, crazy stuff there, man. Anyway, I just wanted to plug that. That was my reason.
That's a sample.
That's a sample. But Frank Zappa, man, he's a dope artist, man. This guy, because when I edit the videos, I do really weird edits and I cut to like footage of Frank Zappa or whoever the artist is that we're sampling. And so I have to delve a bit into the history of the dude and or the woman. And so Frank Zappa, I listened to, there's a shit ton of interviews by him. He was an interesting dude, man. Really interesting. He was like anti-organized religion, anti-like education, what they were teaching people in schools. He thought it could be a lot better. And he was just a rebel and a genius, man, you know, when it came to music. He was never like a rock dude, even though he's classed in that category, but he did classical music, he did jazz music,
He played a lot of instruments, yeah, bass guitar, piano, drums.
Yeah, everything, man.
Yeah, man.
And like super slick motherfucker, man. So check out Frank Zappa, yo.
Slick motherfucker.
All right, what's your last track? It is by, you know, classic of all classics, man. Do you remember what it is? It's Nas.
Drop me out, bro. Do me a favor, bro.
You wanted to play the whole Illmatic album. You were like,
the whole album, man.
Yeah. But you chose this one, produced by Large Professor. It Ain't Hard to Tell by Nas. Check it out.
Man.
Actually, I have the drum break that this one has. I've got it in my Stanley Clark slow dance. But...
this is just like, you know, they just don't, at the risk of sounding old, man, they just don't make hip-hop like this anymore, man.
Well, you definitely couldn't sample Michael Jackson. This is a Michael Jackson song.
And you got to think the guy was 18. He'd never dropped anything before.
In it.
The whole Queensbridge thing was kicking off against, like, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know what I mean? It's just, like, it's Queensbridge. It's the images of the blocks of projects you have and people chilling outside. The way he took over the scene and went live doing these. When he went live doing these tunes, no one could understand. No one could believe his flow and the way he was saying it. And, you know, all that, all those kind of, I can't remember the other lines.
He was like the golden child back then. Like, no one could believe.
I went to hell for killing Jesus or whatever that line was.
No, he goes, I went to hell for snuffing Jesus.
Yeah.
On live at the barbecue.
Everyone's like, what the fuck? Yeah. This is amazing. You can tell his dad was a musician. You can tell he has like something different in him. But again, the main thing for me is that my kids are 8, yeah? He wrote this 10 years older than them.
Amen.
Maybe 9 years older than them. He wrote this.
Crazy.
And to have those kind of experiences. Well, I was at the gym after work today and I was driving home and this DJ was killing it on Flex FM, yeah? You know them DJs who drop a tune, drop a tune, drop a tune, drop a tune, bang, bang, they play it for like 10 seconds, drop a next one. And it was all like that new kind of trap and road rap and stuff.
Yeah.
And I was listening to it, I was thinking, yo, this guy's, the DJ is killing it. But I was thinking the music is kind of like, you know when you listen to those like hardcore ragga DJs and it's always the same rhythm?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they call it the same rhythm. But there's always a different MC doing a different kind of style on the same rhythm. To me, it was like that. I can't remember who this guy is, like this young guy from London with like a really deep voice. I'm going to go and turn him, turn him, turn him. And you're like, fucking hell, he's just talking about killing people, killing people, killing people. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's good, man. You know what I mean? It's good. And then there's that Pyrex Living guy who does, he's quite popular and stuff. But
I'm not up on my UK drill.
None of them are like this. And when it came to England, it never really kicked off. Like, never, no one, like nobody, like Clash, Chester P, anyone from High Focus, none of them had it. Like, it was always like, it was already, by the time it was like getting big hit, it was already, oh, that kind of lyricism is a bit dead. Like, nobody has got the money that these kids like Dave have got. Like, they're selling, like, you know, they've got number one records coming out their ass and shit like that in the whole, like, you know, British charts. You know what I mean? Like, they're massive gigs. They're opening Glastonbury. And I sometimes think to myself, would they be doing that shit if we hadn't done our shit? If it was still Nas and the Americans doing their shit, would it have evolved from Garage and Jungle and blah, blah, blah into that kind of flex? Or did it need like Task Force and Clash and stuff like that? Because for me, it's kind of like a little era where we were all doing it. We were all MCing like really lyrical lyricism, blah, blah, blah. And it was like a certain type of crowd and it never expanded from that.
Yeah.
To the stage where these kids now, I mean, bruv, these kids are like buying Lamborghini 4x4s and shit. Like, you know, they're buying houses for their mums. You know, they're killing life. Yeah. From music, what we all wanted to do, and some of them can't rap for shit. Like, you, as an old person, you'd be like, yo, bruv, you can't rap. But you categorically cannot spit. Like, you would get body bagged in anything.
But yeah,
the kids love it, and the kids don't like lyricism. They don't want to hear, you know what I mean?
Well, it's
clever wordplay.
Yeah,
they just want to hear this kind of, it's a vibe. They want to hear this vibe.
Well, that's what I was kind of going to say. I think we've had this conversation before. Yeah, like it is more vibe-based, but then it's kind of gone 360, you know what I mean? Because the original rappers back in New York in the 60s and 70s, they were on a vibe as well. They weren't ultra-lyrical or crazy. They were like,
that's
put
true.
Your hands in the air, wave them like you just don't care and all that, you know? And they weren't
saying anything. You can see the progression, though, from that.
Yeah.
Dudes are like, shit, how can I make it better? Okay, I've got to do more words. I've got to do more rhyme schemes. I've got to do more syllables. And then it's kind of got like, you know, the rap that people hate the most. I don't know if you saw quite recently, Eminem did a quick, like really quick fire. One of them, And then what's his name did it? Like that guy who's really famous for doing it. I can't remember. Timbaland or someone like that did it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, mate, these are shit. Like, even me, like, nobody likes that shit. You can't listen to that for 5 seconds.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
You never hear Nas doing that shit. You know what I mean? Nas.
You're right. They've gone full circle because they got to the stage of like sick, sick lyricists. And they're like, yo, what are we going to do now? You know what I mean?
I mean, I can imagine a young kid like, being quite daunted by that, like going, whoa, I have to compete with those dudes. I'd rather just compete with these motherfuckers, you know what I mean? So they've just kind of, stopped trying to step it up, you know what I mean? But again, you know, I don't like generalizing
too
much.
Did you see that kid I sent you on Instagram today?
Oh, that kid, yeah, that white kid with the long hair, yeah? Yeah, I did see it.
Yeah, he's from New York. He's like proper New York.
Yeah,
and he's kind of doing vibe, but with lyricism. Like, he's hip hop. That kid is hip hop.
Yeah, proper.
You should check out that guy.
Can't remember his name,
and
but
he's like not lying. He doesn't care about what people think about him and shit.
Mm-hmm.
They really, really rate him, man.
He's
but
dope.
Again,
yeah,
kind of blown up, but only to like kind of minor levels, you know, compared to like you know these other dudes.
Marlon,
like Little Baby and stuff like that.
His name's Marlon Craft. Yeah, it's
Marlon Craft.
Yeah, but. The thing is, it's like, the thing is, man, like even back when Nas was number one, there was still, who was it back then? You know what I mean? I mean, I'm trying to think, like MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice, they were selling millions and millions of records as well. Mm. You know what I mean? I mean, like things come in and out of fashion, but there are still plenty of young people now doing great hip hop, you know what I mean? But you just have to really dig for it. And yeah, they don't earn as much money as they used to.
Exactly.
I don't think
you have
anyone
to really dig for it because it's not at the forefront. Like now it's like a kind of lost episode of hip hop. Like no one really cares about that. You're an old man if you like that kind of hip hop now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess, but I mean, I still see lots of cool stuff like that. Marlon Craft, for example, there's one dude. You know what I mean? There's a few like that, man. If you really
there's
look
lots
for
of cool
it,
stuff, yeah, but it just seems to like,
and it's also now because you can access it so readily. You don't need to purchase it. You know what I mean? Like back in the day, you had to actually fork out, you know, money for it if you wanted to listen to it. You know what I mean? Unless you were taping it off the radio, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you put like a rapper on from like who's, you know, someone from like a big label in boom bap hip hop, like Jest or High Focus, yeah? And then you put a Giggs concert on.
Mm.
Or you put like a Skeng Man concert on, and you see there'll be thousands and thousands and thousands of people of difference. Like we're talking that, and it will sell out in one day. These dudes are making tunes with Drake. You know what I mean? Like, there's no bullshit. They're making tunes with fucking Drake, and it's blown up mass. And I rate them. I rate them fully for being able to do it. I don't like some of the music. I really like some of the tracks and some of the vibes and shit. Fuck me. Sometimes I think, would it have come anyway? Would it materialize anyway without that boom bap hip hop? Because I think maybe boom bap hip hop could be taken completely out of it.
Mm.
And you would still have jungle because it came from like, you know, dancehall and reggae and ragga, and then that would turn into garage, and then you'd still get grime coming out of that. And then those grime heads have turned into like road rap heads, and it's kind of making me think, shit, all that shit I concentrated on was just fucking just irrelevant now. But it meant so much to me. And that Nas tune that you played just there, you're like, man, that's exactly why. That's exactly why it meant so much to me. It was fucking amazing. Yeah, but it's like really one of those things. It's had its time and gone. Madness.
I don't think it will ever go away. It like rises in popularity and dips, you know what I mean? And I think there's still a big audience for it out there. You know what I mean? It's just now they all have kids now and they got other shit they need to worry about. They're not just purely focused on that, you know what I mean? It's definitely, yeah, obviously not as popular as it was. But and also another big factor is the whole sampling aspect of it now, the whole legality of using samples. Like that tune, that sample's a fucking Michael Jackson track, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you know, you can't get away with doing something like that nowadays, you know, without giving half your profits away, either, you know, giving half your profits away to the artist that you sampled or, you know, or just not doing it. And now if I'm a record label, I got two producers in front of me, one who uses samples, one who makes trap beats using an 808, you know, I'm just going to lean that way a little bit and push that angle a bit more, you know, just because I know that we can take 100% of the profits, you know, and there's so many other different aspects involved and stuff. And it's just one of the things that even, yeah, the way we listen to music, the way we buy music, the way we, you know, yeah, interact with musicians. Everything has changed so drastically, man. You know, but even Nas is still out there making music now.
He's still dropping albums, Method Man.
Fucking everyone who we're listening to back then, most of them are still out here making tunes, you know what I mean? Doing their thing. So, yeah, it's one of them things. It's an interesting topic to talk about. I mean, I talk about it all the time, man. But again, I think, like you brought up High Focus, yeah, Flip Tricks and them boys. I think you can get, if you get enough of a fan base where every time you press up a single or an album, you're guaranteed to sell 5,000 of them or 10,000 of them. You know, once you made all your costs back, that's a decent enough bit. And then you can tour around and as long as you can fill a 300 capacity, 400 capacity, you know what I mean, all around the country, maybe dip into Europe a little bit, you can make a decent enough living and get by, you know, and live off your passion, you know, which I'm not mad at. You know what I mean? I'm not mad. I don't need Jess to fill out a fucking massive stadium. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, I'm sure he would love to, man, but... But I'm just saying, like, you know, they can, you know, they can do their thing. If they do it well enough, there'll be people there willing to support, you know, to a certain degree, for sure. But it takes us as well, us people who take in music, to not just stream shit because the person doesn't make any money off that. Buy a little bit of merch, go see them live, you know, support them in other ways if you want them to keep making music. You know, I'll definitely urge people to do that.
Arms house to your mum's house.
To your mum's house. All right. Shall I hit my third one, man? Yeah?
Yo.
I'm going a bit cheesy on this one, man. I've gone a bit... I just thought I'd throw this on. This is a tune. It's by... a dude called is super cheesy, man, and I think it's doing the, it came out in 2016, but apparently it's doing the rounds now on TikTok. Apparently it's quite popular on TikTok. I wouldn't know, but it's a tune by Wande Cole excuse me, and DJ Tunes. It's a tune called Iskaba, and it's an Afrobeat song. Yeah, and I'll tell you why I wanted to play this after we listen to a little piece of it. Check it out. It just makes me smile, this song, man.
Yeah, exactly. You want your children to be boys?
Listen. Oh, my darling. Oh, my darling.
Baby,
you know, I've been out of
it. You should see the video for this song. The girl has the biggest body that you've ever seen in your life. I'll send it to you. I'll send it to you later. All right, so Wande Cole. W-A-N-D-E Cole. Iskaba.
W-A-N-D-E Cole.
Just put Iskaba. It'll come up.
Iskaba. Iskaba. Iskaba.
Iskabo. Are you checking it now, yeah?
Yeah, you can see him in his pink suit.
Yeah. Anyway, the reason why I chose that song is because in 2019, I did a job in Portugal for a thing called Afro Nation. Yeah, it's a big festival. So it was the first one they did, Afro Nation, which is an Afro Beats festival, the first of its kind. It was huge. I was on a beach. It was the most amazing job that I have ever done, man. One of, for sure. It was incredible, man. Beautiful, obviously, on the beach and, you know, the sand.
Yeah, but like at blind. Least
70% of the people coming to this festival were women. Beautiful women from all over Europe, but mainly from England, to be honest, but all over Europe and also from Africa as well. They were coming up because it was in Portugal, like right in the south of Portugal. And it was just such good vibes. And I wasn't, I'd obviously heard of Afrobeat. I'd heard of Afrobeats, which was like Tony Allen and Fela Kuti and all that. I've got a few records of theirs. I love that music. But Afrobeat is a modern version of that come out of Nigeria. And it was just so feel good, man. And like all these songs I'd never heard before. And it was just fucking incredible. It's
very happy, isn't it?
Happy. Everyone was on a vibe and no bad feelings. Everyone was in a bikini as well because we're on the beach. So it was just, I was surrounded by gorgeous women shaking their asses. Every time one especially that tune that I was playing, that was the tune of the moment. So when that tune came in, when it begins, it goes, "Oh my darling, oh darling." And then like everyone just went, dropped everything and just started whining like that and shaking their asses and shit. And I was just like in heaven, man. It was amazing.
I love that shit. I love that story, man.
Yeah, so I just wanted to play that to share that with you guys, man. It's a bit of a cheesy tune because I think, you know, most people would have heard that song at some point, maybe. I mean, I don't know. But it is a great song. And it's a really simple song. No samples. And we were talking about hip-hop before. Obviously, this isn't hip-hop. Mm. But that's just, you know, mad rhythms. It's even got kind of a Latin sort of feel. And, you know,
yeah, it's just a lot of Afrobeat does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's all kind of comes from the similar root, I think, you know, sound.
And all the Latin stuff comes from Africa. Like the indigenous dances in Colombia and Venezuela. You look at the dance, you're like, this is an African dance, like 100%.
I mean,
And you look at it on Google or whatever, and it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all from the same sort of places.
Yeah. That similar rhythm, you know what I mean? But they've obviously gone off on tangents here and there across the world, but it all comes from the African roots, man. And
salsa is obviously, everyone thinks South America, that comes from Africa. And
and samba.
What's that really Spanish one? Flamenco. You know where flamenco comes from? It comes from Romanian, like gypsies.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Like that kind of. When you look at people do it, you actually go, oh shit. No, when you see a man sing in flamenco style, he's talking in Spanish, but you're like, where the fuck is this guy from? And then someone tells you, yo, this comes from like traveling communities, but Romania traveling, like proper. And you're like, oh shit. Like it actually sounds like that as well.
Yeah.
It's madness how from, you know, back in the day, all the shit came from the same place.
No, man, it's dope, man. Yeah. I remember when I was in Brazil, I lived in Brazil for about a year and a bit. And my girlfriend at the time, Brazilian lady, she was a dancer. And she danced a type of music called forró music. Yeah. It's spelled forro, but double R in Portuguese, Brazilian Portuguese, you pronounce it like an H. So it's forró. And some no one doesn't mean anything. Some people say it actually comes from the English for all, but it was just mispronounced and this just became for whore. Yeah, but anyway, no one really knows. And it's an incredible type of music. You know, similar, you know, Latin kind of vibes, flamenco, samba-ish, but really simplified, and it's usually performed live, and you only need three people: a guy on a guitar, a guy on a drum, and a guy with a triangle. Yeah, and which is usually the singer. Yeah. Oh, and what's it called? What's it called when you like expand it and come in? What's that instrument called? Like with wind and
Accordion.
Yeah, accordion. That's it. Yeah, so an accordion, and it, all the songs were like, you know, just about, you know, sex and love and heartbreak and shit like that, and I remember turning up to these dances, and before I met her, I met her at one of these things. Actually, she was a mate of my sister's. That's how I met her. But anyway, at these dances, all the dudes are on one side, all the girls are on the other side. And the dudes, when a song comes on, the dude goes up to a girl and asks her to dance. And she has to say yes, yeah? Unless she has a boyfriend. If she has a boyfriend, she says, oh, sorry. And then the dude will ask the boyfriend, is it cool if I dance with your girl? And if he says, yeah, then cool. But if he says no, then whatever, you move on to the next girl. But if you ask a girl and she's there, she has to kind of, the etiquette is for her, she has to say yes, yeah? And then she'll dance with you for a couple, for like, you know, 30 seconds, a minute. If she doesn't like you, she'll say thanks for the dance and go. But if you dance with her, because most of the songs, they go on for about 4 or 5 minutes. And if you're dancing with her, and the song ends, that's it, you can fuck her that night. Sorry to be crude. I don't mean to be crude, but like, yeah, that means she likes you, basically.
That's so good.
So it's really cool. The problem
in Colombia and Venezuela is it doesn't even matter if she's got a boyfriend. You know what I mean? The dancing is so accepted.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, it's just kind of etiquette to ask the boyfriend. And usually they're like, yeah, cool. You know what I mean? Like, because I kind of had to do that a bit as well. Because like I said, my girl was a really good dancer. Yeah. And I was just learning. I managed to pick up a few moves and I'm good. I got rhythm. So I was all good.
All the men are like, listen, you're dancing with gringo. You know what I mean? Come and dance with me.
Well, it's not so much dancing with the gringo. It's just they were really good dancers as well. And so they want, you know, want to do the whole spinning and fucking all this stuff.
And
it was cool to watch, you know what I mean? To be honest, I mean, also, I was gritting my teeth a little bit, like, yeah.
Oh, mate.
But to be honest, it was purely respectful, like you said. It was just purely about dancing, man. But you know, anyway, it's all love, man. And
so they start winding really close, like some sexy bachata or some sexy salsa. You're like, whoa!
Well, the thing is,
it's very sexy.
It is very, very sexy. And the thing is that with fajor, there's two types of style of fajor dancing. There's the pulley style, which is the throwing her around and spinning her around and, you know, going under the legs and all this stuff, yeah? And then there's the hachino style, which is like little rat, little rodent, yeah? Hachino.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you're like hardly moving. You're like literally moving half an inch to the left, half, but you're like, her leg is jammed in between your legs and you're clamped on to her and you're just grinding on each other, basically.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's
and dope. The better a dancer you are, like the less you move, like you're just that hardcore grind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's the same in... It's deep.
I saw one dude, he's dancing with two girls. So he'd had one girl spinning and he's grinding her one, and then he'd like flip the other one, he could spin her and grind. And yeah, it's crazy shit, man. But yeah, super dope, man. And but anyway, Wande Cole, Iskaba. I really like it. The song just makes me feel happy, man. And I've been delving.
It's a good song to have to feel happy.
Yeah, I've been delving into my Afro beats now. I mean, I couldn't really pull out many different names or anything. There's a guy, Drogba, and there's another couple dudes. Some crazy shit, but they don't release them on vinyl, man, because it's a relatively new genre. They don't really release them on record. I wish they would, because I would buy that shit, but...
I see what you mean, because I don't know.
I guess the audience don't really... By
record, have record players.
So why would they release it? But man. So yeah, we've gone over an hour now.
Well over an hour already, man. I mean,
we're good to wind down, or unless you want to do your rant to end it off. What are you thinking?
Let's do a funny one. Let's try and aim for a funny episode next episode. This one's been quite kind of like detailed and shit.
It's true.
We'll do a funny episode. I'll do the rants.
Yeah.
You need to do your, what was it called? Your conspiracy thing you didn't mention.
Maddie's favorite conspiracy theory.
Yeah. And then we'll think of the writer who's going to get crowned worst, wackest writer of the week, WWW.
Yeah.
Wackest writer of the week.
Exactly. So stay tuned for next episode for that one. Yo.
Yeah, man.
So we're gonna...
I won't be so tired as well, man.
Yeah, man.
We're trying to do Sunday. Try and do Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. No, this Sunday I may well be up for doing it this Sunday. Let's see how it goes. And we'll try and get a guest on soon, man. Maybe we could get someone to play three songs or something. We'll get them to
get more. Get we need to be like going into the rhythm of it and stuff and keep it going, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, and then we get the guests on then as well. But yeah, let's make the next one funny.
No doubt.
Plan some bits. Because this Tim Westwood thing, man, is going to be fucking pissing myself, man. I don't want to talk about it, but fucking hell.
Timmy Savile, yo. Hashtags Timmy Savile.
Timmy Savile. You got to tune in to episode 3 next time.
Yeah.
When we're going to talk about Timmy Savile, man.
Yo.
Fuck me,
I mean, but it's not a surprise, is it, really? Like, mans have known about... I mean, I've heard... I mean, I don't know the guy personally, but and I don't interact with the guy or anyone who's accusing him of anything, but I know that these allegations have been around for a long while.
I'm going to be coming from a slightly different angle on this, man. So get ready to laugh. Yeah, stay tuned, baby.
Okay, cool.
Nice one, Maddie.
And I'll tell you when I've only met him once, but I've met Tim Westwood once. Actually, I'll tell it now. It's literally a 2-minute story. I was in Scala. It was Big Daddy Kane was performing and J-Roo the Damager. This is like years and years, and this is like early 2000s. And I was walking through the crowd, and I bumped into someone with a leather jacket, tall dude. I looked up, and it was Tim Westwood. And I was like, oh, shit, it's you. And he turned around. He was like, yeah, man. And I went, you fuck off like that. And I popped off the other way. Just because he came up like that, he was like, yeah, man. I was like, fuck.
He actually acted like that in person.
Yeah, and I just like literally.
Man. It's me, degrees. Man.
Yeah.
Where's his thunder button in real life?
It's the big dog. He basically bit his whole style from Funkmaster Flex. He basically just copy-pasted all that, but this in his English style.
I always thought that, like, fuck.
Yeah, but anyway. Yeah,
I'm coming at a slightly different angle because some of the stuff I've read in the press have been brilliant. And there'll probably be more shit that pisses me off by then.
Did you watch the BBC show?
Is really going to be a thing.
There was a BBC show about it. I haven't watched it.
No, I haven't seen that.
No.
I haven't seen that.
Right.
But I've seen the accusations. Like, how do you get yourself in these situations? And it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
fucking
man.
Brilliant.
You know what? Rest in peace, Ty. Because I remember him... talking about that years and years and years ago as well, man.
Rest in peace, Ty, man. No Wicked doubt. MC.
No doubt.
Wicked MC.
All right, guys, we're out, man. Much love.
We're out.
Peace.
Enjoy the rest of your week.
Arms house to your mom's house. To your mum's house. To your mum's house. To your mum's house.